No, it wasn't going, though.
Oh, wait. It was going. Right. Okay, good. So we're on Dalam Beis. Dalam is Dilma of a Dilma. Okay, in the middle of the page. So basically, again, the question is, the Mishnah says that if you do a Kira or Hanacha in a hand, you're Chayiv. Okay, the question is, but it's not Dalal Dalit. So Rabbah answers this, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds you don't need Dalal Dalit, you don't need Hanacha Kluta Kamisha Hachadamia. So, no, is there any throw from Rishas Yachad through Rishas HaRab into the next Rishas Yachad? Yechayev, below 10th Bacham Yechayev. So it must be because Kutu Kamisha Huncha, so he doesn't need a Hanacha. So you see, you don't need a Hanacha, so you don't need Dalal Dalit. So he's the one, he's the author of a Mishnah. So in the case of the hand, Yechayev, because you don't need a Hanacha. So it's great. Mar says not so fast. V'dilma Hanacha Hudilo Baya. Halakira Baya. Maybe all you see from Rabbi Akiva's case is that you don't need a Hanacha. You don't need a Hanacha. Right? Because it goes through the Rosh Hashanah and it's never Munach in the Rosh Hashanah. But you have an Akira, in that case, you pick it up in the Rosh Hashanah, throw it across. So you picked it up, you had an Akira. So how do you know, where's your evidence that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold, you don't need an Akira? You've only shown me the old Zion Hanacha, but in our Mishnah, you're ochre it from the guy's hand. Okay, you're ochre it from the guy's hand also. There's both cases. You're ochre it or maniachet in the guy's hand. So you have, it's not enough to show me that Rabbi Akiva is author of a Mishnah. He only showed me that he holds Zion Hanacha. He hasn't shown me Zion Akira. Okay, Rashi. So Rashi says, V'dom Hanacha Zul Boy, Midiktani Rabbi Akiva Machayev. Aval Akira Boy. He says, because according to this logic, if you want to say that you don't need Akira or Hanacha, then he really should be Chayiv too. Okay? For going from Rosh Yachad to Rosh Rabban, then Rosh Rabban back to Rosh Yachad. So, Elamai, why not? Because the second stage has no Akira. So it's true, it becomes like a Munach in the second Makkah, in the Rosh Rabban. But now you don't have an Akira. Mm-hmm. You need a real Akira. So you only be Chayiv for the first one, not for the second one. So that's in fact, he's not just saying maybe, he's saying actually the facts seem to indicate that is the case. That Rabbi Akiva really
does hold
that you need an Akira. Okay, so it's not just saying in the Gemara, you could have just said it's Vidilma, maybe. You know, maybe it's the case. But he's saying no, the facts seem to indicate that he actually holds that way. Yeah, it's not so simple. Not so simple. Okay. So far, what do we have to do? The only problem is one problem. You're right. What's the difference? What's the difference between Akira and Anacha? I mean, especially as Kohen Soros were saying, if you're telling me that it's changing Rishos, how all of a sudden did Akira and Anacha become different? I mean, this is two parts of a Malacha. What's the difference if you say it, if you say like you need a Kfiyas of the Makom, for instance? You say, Dal is then a Kfiyas of the Makom. So, Kfiyas of the Makom, in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? And what sense does it make to differentiate between Akira and Hanacha? That's the question. And that he's not telling us. He's just saying, Rashi is just showing you how you know it from the Gemara, why you think that he does hold this way, but it's not explaining the concept. Okay? Fine. So let's look at Tosas. So Tosas is Doma, Hanacha, Dolaboya, Akira, Boya, Pirish Rashi, the Diagment, the Lomachai, Vishtaim, Achas, Mishim, Hatzah, Achas, Mishim, Achnasa, Vikasha. Okay, Vidilma, Hadalomachai, Vishtaim, Mishim, the Lomachai, Vatoldo, Makomav. Okay, maybe there's another reason. Maybe really he holds you don't need Akira or Hanacha. So why isn't he Chayiv too? It's a different thing. You're not Chayiv or Toldo in place of an Av. Okay, that's a principle. It's a principle, that, or some hold by that principle, that Hatzah is an Av, and Hachnas is a Toldo. So you hold, you're not Chayiv for the Toldo in the presence together with the Av. So that's why you're only Chayiv one.
Why is in the presence of the Av?
Because you're doing both. You're doing Hatzah and Hachnas in one shot. The question is, okay, and he keeps going for it. Not he's only suggesting that. Ve'od, tibesamach kam Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv haya Rabbi Shnayim. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda said that according to Rabbi Yechayiv too. Avgav diktani stam Rabbi mechayiv. Okay, all it's said by Rabbi. Okay, if you look a little down a little bit, look if you should take a look, skip down the four lines on the bottom. It says Detanya Zorak Nerushes Harab Nerushes Hayachid. Okay, it's kind of the opposite case. Okay. I'm sorry. But it's the opposite case of what we had though, right? Rabbi Mechayev Acham Potrim. From Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Mechayev Ha'i Rabbi Shlayim, Achon Shem Hatzov, Achon Shem Hachnasa. So you see that even though all he said is Mechayev, he's saying Chayev too. So you can't prove to me from the fact that the Tana says Mechayev, he means only one, because you see Rav Yehuda knows how to learn, he's a Tamora, knows how to learn, he knows how to learn the Braisa, and he's willing to read into Rabbi to say Mechayev means two. So how's Rashi so confident that when Rabbi Akiva says Mechayev, he only means Chayev one? I mean, that just doesn't seem, it seems like it's against the Gemara. He says, so similarly, he says, I forgot to say, right. How do you know? Just because it says that? That doesn't prove anything. Just because it says Mechayev? Mechayev, it doesn't say Mechayev Shtayim? So what? Tosa's question is on two fronts. He says, the first question is, even if I go with you that he's only Chayev one, but maybe it's because of a different reason. Because he holds you not Chayev until the Makam off. Nothing to do with Akira Anacha. No, really you don't need Akira or Anacha, but it's a totally extraneous reason. And besides for that, I'm not so convinced that he holds you only Chayev one. Maybe he really holds you Chayev two. So in other words, there are two ways, either way you go. In other words, first of all, I'm not so convinced, that's the order, like, I'm just saying the opposite order, but first of all, it's not so fast. Maybe he really holds you a Chayev two. And even if you want to say he is only Chayev one, that still doesn't prove your point. Still doesn't prove your point. Because maybe it's because told the Makamav. Maybe it's like this. Maybe the... So the question is, like, sounds like Rashi's missing the point. How could he miss these points? There's two solid gashas. Just like a percentage, it sounds like he just didn't read the Gemara further and didn't know about how to hold the Makamav. Just, it sounds like two powerful questions.
Right.
Two.
Is that a pun? That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, okay. So maybe you could say is that, but what's Rashi trying to do here? What's he trying to do? He's not trying to prove that Rabbi Akiva holds that Yechayev, the Hanacha and Akira are different. Because he's not proving it. It's not a good proof. Okay? Kastosis. For two reasons. Rather, he's defending the... See, I'll tell you what sounds funny about the Gemara. Gemara is saying, Rabbi Akiva says Yechayev. And he says therefore you say, you don't need Hanacha, right? So then the Gemara goes, oh, maybe he only holds Akira. No. Maybe. So he's like, you can't just always say maybe. It's like it just, you have to have a basis for saying maybe. Like, maybe. That's why are you saying that? Like, you have to, you can't just throw out a maybe. You can put anything into anyone, but he doesn't, where's your indication for that? Is there any indication that he holds a chiluk between a kira and a nacha? There's no indication like that. He's just telling you a case. Now, it's true you set up a case that, there is only, in other words, in this case, there's a kira and there's a nacha. Like, where are you coming at this from? Like, you're just positing, maybe he holds, you only chai for one of them and not for the other. Who said? Why are you saying this? It just sounds like, you can't just make up anything and say maybe. It's not a good question. I'm saying, how many Rabbi Akiva? And you're saying, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds. Yeah, but maybe. Yeah, you can always say maybe. So that's not a kasha. So Rashi's showing us, it's not just a maybe. There is an indication that he holds that way, because he doesn't say Mechayev Shtayim. Now, that's not a proof, because you see that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi or Rabbi does that. And if you don't interpret it in that way also. But it is an indication. It's still an indication. And maybe he holds it because of Tolu Makamav. That's also true. But there's certainly a smooth way to read the... And arguably the smoothest... I don't know the smoothest, but it's a very smooth way to read Rabbi Akiva as saying that you only chayev one. Because he only says you only chayev one. Now, does every guy who holds... Whenever you chayev two, do you have to say it explicitly? No, so you don't have to say it explicitly. But it's... It's certainly simpler to say Chayev 1, not Chayev 2, because he didn't say Chayev 2. So it's true, maybe he left it out, but this is a smooth way to read it. And now once you're saying, if you agree that he's Chayev only 1, so now certainly a good explanation would be Akira versus Hanacha. Now, it's true you could explain it of Tolu Makamav, that's true. But it's a legitimate explanation of Rabbi Akiva, such that you can't cite him as the author of Mishnah. It's already too tenuous to say Rabbi Akiva is the author of Mishnah. Okay, because there's a legitimate other way to read him. But Rashi's not trying to prove that that's the case. He's not trying to prove that Rabbi Akiva holds that. He's just trying to show that it's a legitimate reading. It's grounded. It's a grounded reading. It's not. He's just showing you, don't think it's just coming up out of nowhere and just making this whole thing up. Like, you're just making up a crazy maybe. You don't just throw out maybes. You could always go, a lot of maybes, you could say. But the maybe has ground, has a teeth to it. Let's see what Tosas says, and maybe we'll come back to it, okay? So what's Tosas asking? Tosas just doesn't realize that Rashi's doing that? I mean, let's see. Because the premise of Tosas' questions Is that he's proving it. Saying these aren't proofs. So, I mean, let's see what Tosis is doing, and maybe we'll come back to that. Okay? Okay, maybe that's what Tosis Yishanim is saying. I didn't realize. But he says, "In ze kushe kol kach." The lo kamar ha akira v'adai boi ela dilma kamar. What he's saying is that, that's what he's saying. He says that the Tosas, what's Tosas Kasha? Rashi wasn't saying that definitely that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. Even the Gemara wasn't saying definitely that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds really Akira and Anach are the same. But maybe there's certainly a good reason, a good way to read into the Rabbi Akiva to say that you're only chayav one. And there's certainly a good explanation of why you're only chayav one is because Akira and Anach are different. Now, proof? No, it's not proof. But it's enough, and that's why he says, you look at the Gemara, Lashon of the Gemara. Rashi explained the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say definitely. He's saying Dilma. So all the Gemara is trying to do is that you're trying to say Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah. Maybe not. That's not. You have to give evidence to say Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah. You can't just say, we have this principle, you need Dalal Dalet. And you can't just say Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah. It's a Chiddush to say that you don't need Dalal Dalet. And it's possible, it's true, it's, he definitely holds it by Akira, of Hanacha, but maybe he doesn't know about Akira. So do you have evidence that there's really a Tana who's definitely the author of our Mishnah? Who could definitely be the author? That's all the Gemara is trying to do. So Rashi is explaining it in that context. So is it a proof? No, it's not a proof. That's why I think he says it's kol kach. It's not such a strong kasha. So it means it's true that there is another way to go. But that's what he's saying. It's like Tosu's point is well taken, but it's not a kasha. Don't think it's like a knockout. But it's an important point to make. But Rashi, I guess that's the Tosha's point. The Tosha is asking like a kasha. It's not a kasha. It's like it's an interesting point. The point well taken is that it's only a maybe. It's really a maybe. You can't really prove it. But still, I mean, that's what Tosha's saying. It's taking to on the Lashon of Tosha. Is that not so? It's not really a kasha. Okay, maybe we'll come back to this point, but it's interesting. It's interesting back and forth at Tosas, Shana, and Tosas, like what, you know, but let's leave it. Okay? Okay. The ode. So what does Tosas say? So Tosas goes further. He says, so he doesn't like this. So what's he saying and he say instead? So he says, Venero Lafarish, the Parach, Akira Bai, the Alfinan Mimeshkan. So you need Akira, you don't need Anacha, because you learn from Mishkan. So I not limite Vasam. They would take it out of their box. Shall you behind Arba al Arba, which had Dalet al Dalet. Venos nim liyad osem alacha. And they'd give it to the hand of the person who was like the worker for the Mishkan. Okay, so I guess you take it out of your box. Right, and you have a box. I guess you brought the box. I guess you brought your stuff to the Mishkan, which you gave as gifts to the Mishkan in a box, in your suitcase, let's say. And then you'd get there, and then you'd take it out of your suitcase, which is Din Rav Rosh Tziyach, because it's Dalet al Dalet, and you'd hand it to those in Melacha, in Rosh Hasharab.
Suitcase would be Rosh Tziyach?
Yeah, if it's Dalet al Dalet. It's like Mechitzas, I guess. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe it means your box in your house. Your box in your house, but it's Dalet al Dalet. I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to, but he's saying basically the fact is in the Mishkan, that's what they did. However you work it out, but he's saying is that they took it from something which was Dalet al Dalet, and they gave it to a guy's hands. That's what they did. Apparently they store the whatever it is in the Mishkan, you store these things in certain boxes which are Dalet al Dalet, and then you take it out of there, so you okar it from Dalet al Dalet, and then you give it to those same Malacha. So you see they had that also. They didn't only have where you give it to Dalet al Dalet, you give it in their hand. So that's where Rabbi Akiva learns out that Kluzik Mishoncha. Or it learns out that you can put it in the guy's hand. You don't need to put it down in on the makam. You just put it in his hand. That's enough. But you don't see anywhere in the Mishkan that they did the opposite. That they didn't have an akira from Dalet al Dalet. That you don't see. And then he says, "Fimash Pirashi Leil the Darshina Me Al Yetsi Ish Me Mekomo Asi Shapir to be akira Mary." He said, "Al Yotzi, you shouldn't be motzi something from its makam." But that's not talking about. That saying is it has to have a makom, and your motzi it from his makom, but it doesn't say anywhere about putting it down in his makom. So he says that's also good from that pasuk. He says either way you go. If you learn from Mishkan, it's good because they had it like that. And if you learn it from Ayetze, Ayotzi, then also it's good. Okay? So that's what he's saying. question. This is an answer as to where the Gemara is coming from, saying that Rabbi Akiva holds you only need Akira and Aranacha. You only need Akira and Aranacha. Which is also, it's in line with what we said. This isn't a proof, still not a proof. Because how do you know Rabbi Akiva holds this? All you're doing is you're giving a svara. But you're not proving that, you're not proving it. So it's all it's saying is maybe. So you're giving a svara. So, but that's, I think, what he's not, he knows that. I mean, that's why I guess he realizes that. He's just showing that there is, the Gemara is saying this. I guess that's what he's saying. The Gemara is not just saying, again, what we're saying. It's not just saying, maybe this is a thing. It's not just maybe. It's a good svara to say this. It's a good svara to be mechalik like this. And this is a svara. It's based on a svara. The Gemara is coming based on a svara. That's what I'm saying. Rashi was saying it based upon the facts of the Gemara. Tosas is saying is the facts of the Gemara aren't really that compelling. But based on a svara, it's coming along. And what's the Gemara's basis of this attack, of placing Rabbi Akiva into this idea of a differentiating the Kira and Anacha? Rashi was saying it's based on the facts. He's saying the facts aren't compelling. He says, rather, it's based on the svara. Svara, he says, is a good svara. So therefore, since it's a good svara, then you have no evidence that Rabbi Akiva is holding anything more than the svara. Apparently, if you just had the facts, it wouldn't be... Just the facts, if there's no svara, maybe that's his point. Maybe that's his point. Is that there was no really good svara to differentiate between Akira and Anacha, then the facts alone don't really tell you anything. Because the facts can be explained other ways, and it doesn't make any sense. Why should Akira and Anacha be different? Maybe that's his point. That's his point, I think. His point is not on Rashi. His point, he agrees with Rashi, the fact that the facts are like that. But he's saying is that if for instance, let's assume there were no svara for Akira and Anacha being different. There's no svara for that. So then basically Rashi's not saying anything because it's very nice. It sounds like he's only chayev two. There's only chayev one. But there's no sense to that. There's no sense to it. So therefore you'll learn either he's only chayev one because of the Toldo Makamav, or you'll learn he's chayev two. So you're not showing it. Well, Dilma, just if he said it explicitly, so then I don't know, I wouldn't know the svara, but he said it explicitly. But he doesn't say it explicitly and there's no idea. So that's not a Vidilma. That doesn't warrant saying maybe he holds it. Elamai, it's because of the Svara. That there's a Svara. That's what I'm saying is that you can't explain Rashi purely with the facts. You need a Svara here. Because otherwise the thing stands off the wall and you don't have any evidence. So you know, why is the Gemara saying Vidilma? Because the facts sound like that? Not really. And they're making this sound seemingly crazy Yechila. So that's what he's saying is, no, it's not a crazy chiluk, it's a good chiluk, it's a very good svara. And now, he agrees with Rashi, is that the facts is a very good way to read the facts, and there's a basis to say it. There's definitely a basis to say it, it's a good svara. I mean, it could be that David's saying it's good, it's true, it's a machlokas. What's the machlokas here is that he's saying v'dilma, just trying to say, maybe Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like this. So if you to say a maybe, and to not come out as a tana, do you just have to show like some factual indication that he holds that way? Even if you don't know Svara? Can you just say without Svara? Dilma, that's it. Dilma, I was a Svara, I'm not sure what Svara is, but here's a good way to read him. It's good, there's an indication that he holds this way. What Svara? I don't know, there's Svaras, there are a lot of Svaras. Or do you say no, is that without a real Svara, that is solid Svara, there's no, you can't say with Dilma. It's not an Akkad. You can't just say because the facts, there's a good way to read the facts this way. There's Dilma, but where's the Svara? Where's your Svara? It's not a good Svara, it's not a good Svara. So it's very nice the facts seem to indicate that, but that's still the same. Without a svara, it doesn't go anywhere. See, this is what you have to give me the svara. You have to show me the chila. Rashi seems maybe holds that, I'm sure Rashi had a svara, but Rashi doesn't bring it down because he holds is that in to understand this part of the Gemara doesn't have to have a svara to answer this question. As long as you have an indication that this is a good, legitimate possibility, it can't just be crazy out of nowhere, maybe. But as long as there's an indication that this is a way to read it, so now, I mean, if it were impossible, then obviously you can't say Dilma, but it could be, it's a question of how grounded the thing has to be to knock out the Tana, you know, to knock him out as a Tana. Could be. So now the main idea here. So what Tosas is trying to give us a svara here. A chiluk between Akira and Anacha, right? That's what we're here for. That's really the idea here. So what's the chiluk between Akira and Anacha? He's saying, because Mekoma, Yotz, because that's what they did in the Mishkan, and that's what Pazik says, like Yotz Yisrael Yotzi. But okay, but still, so what's the svara? What is the svara? Well, what's this a new idea here? I mean, what's the new idea here? What's changing? I mean, until now, we never heard of a chiluk between Akira and Anacha. but this is in somehow some sort of chiluk. What's the sense? My question. So the question is, well, they did it in the Mishkan. That's his answer. Mishkan defines relativity. Yeah, but the question is if they did this in the Mishkan, like let's talk the way we're talking about the Svaras. One way to look at it is that a Hitzah is changing the makom of the Chafetza, which needs Kvias, both in the Akira and the Hanacha. What's the difference? Another way is to say that Hitzah is just changing the location, and there's nothing to do with Kvias. Okay? Now, in the Mishkan, they did it, they didn't have a Hanacha, so obviously they had the type of productivity in the Mishkan wasn't only changing its din makom, because there's no din makom without a Hanacha. So rather, it must be in the Mishkan, it's the productivity, it's just changing its Roshos.
When did they have Anacha?
They didn't have Anacha. No, that's his case. He's saying in the Mishkan, they did an Akira from Dalal al Dalal, but they just handed it to the guy. So there's no Anacha, he just handed it to the guy.
Did that put it down to
Mark? Yeah, whatever, but that guy himself, and is this actually the one guy who did it, is he has an Akira without Anacha. So saying is, so you see that apparently, then Mishkan, they had a productivity without the giving it a Din Makom, just the changing the Roshos. So now it happens to be that the guy who did that did take it, was Oker it from Dalad al Dalad, but there's no such thing like that. Then what's the idea of the Hotzah? Is it changing the Din Makom, or is it just any change in location? Well, how could you? So it's accidental that it happened to be that he picked it up from Dalal al Dalad. But since in the Hanacha it wasn't a Din Makom, that shows you that the productivity is the type of productivity in Hotzah, it's just a change of location. So now how do you now say, but you still need an Akira Dalal Dalad? I mean, it's true he happened to do it, but if your concept of Hotzah is just change of location, then you don't need the Akira. And if your concept is that it's defining the Makom, then you should even need an Hanacha. So something like this is we did this once upon a time, by the way, but we had a different idea. Tosis had a different idea, but leave it alone. We'll talk about that afterwards. But here's what I'm thinking here from this Tosis. Let's take the second shot. Al yotzi yesh mimkama. So according to the way we previously understood Hotzah was that you're uprooting the kvias, and the thing has a din makom, and you're changing the din makom. It used to have a din makom here, and you're uprooting that din makom and giving it a new din makom. That's the way we're looking at Hotzah, right? That's the way we're looking at Hotzah. It's changing the din makom from there to here, which involves two things. Like here in Hanacha, breaking the kvias there and reestablishing, giving a new kvias over here. Okay. But according to this, he's saying is no. That really the malacha is al yetze yesh mekama, or al yotze yesh mekama. Which means that really, according to this svara, according to Rabbi Akiva, Hotzah is essentially removing, breaking the kvias of an object. It's not giving it a new kvias. Okay? Essentially, it's breaking the kvias of the object. Okay? So the second you pick it up, you break its din makom. The second you pick it up, right? You know, what do you need to put it down even altogether? What do you need to move it across the border? What do you need to include that? The second you pick it up, right? But the thing is like, see, if you pick it up, like let's say you pick something up in your house, so it's like it's only to go back to its spot. Like it has a spot. Now you pick it up, but it's not broken. You haven't broken this kvias. It's a temporary thing, you pick it up. As long as you're still in the same rishos. So you say it's still omed to go back down where it started from. So you're moving it around, you're cleaning under it, whatever it is. But in other words, that's its location. It has a makom, and you temporarily have taken the makom away. But when you go into the other rishos, that completes the break in the kvias. So the role of the transfer is not because you have to give it a din makom in the other rishos. You don't need a din makom in the other rishos, and that's why all you need is kluta. In the other rishos is once you get out of this rishos, once you cross the boundary into the other rishos, so it's mufka that completes the hafka, the yotzi yesh mimkama, the removal from the makom. That's like in the malacha, in the Mishkan. He's saying that's what they did. The essential thing is they're getting rid of the stuff, getting it out of that teva, you know. But it's when it goes into the other guy's hand, now the break is complete. It's broken from that rishos. But essentially, this idea of Hotzah is a different idea of Hotzah. Hatzah is essentially removal from Rishas. It's not an adin of relocation, but it's an adin of breaking location. And the transfer is only necessary to complete the removal. So the question is, what about Karmelos? So what happens if you, why can't you just pull it into a Karmelos? You should be chayiv. Right? Kluta is Kluta and Rishas Yachid. You don't say Kluta and Karmelos, even if you put it down in Karmelos. So it could be, maybe you'll say, is that, see, Karmelos is really a Dome Rosh Hashanah, right? It still partakes of the Rosh Hashanah. So what it's saying is that you could, the way you complete the removal from the Rosh Hashanah is by entering it into the Rosh Hashanah. You know, is by entering the opposite Rosh Hashanah. That's the completion of the removal. Like, as long as it hasn't gone private, so to speak, is it's only to go back in the street, you know? But once I bring it into the house, that's it. It's a different, it's totally mufka. The world of the Rabbim is negated. Once it's in the mechitzos of the Rosh Yachid, the Rabbim, there's no reality to the Rabbim. The Karmelos, like you see, people of the Rabbim sometimes use the Karmelos, you know? So in other words, the idea is that the removal, the Yetziah, has to be like a total Yetziah. And the total Yetziah is when you go into the opposite Rishos. But it's not because you have to give it a new makom in the opposite Rishos. Once it enters the other opposite, and it's all that's, it's a new idea of kluta. That's the idea of kluta is that all you need is kluta. Is you don't need a hanacha in the other rishos because all you need is the entrance into the other rishos. You don't need to give it a din makom. It's not necessarily because I'm saying because Karmelos has the property of rabbim, but the point is because it's not the opposite. It's the opposite rishos is that completes the afka. Opposite rishos completes the afka. Right. Yeah, I have to say it's because the opposite, because Makom Torah isn't the opposite. It doesn't partake of the Rabbim either. But yeah, but the point of the end is the point. Is it has to be the opposite Rishos. That's the idea. So the complete Afka is where it's into the opposite Rishos. But it's not because you have to give it a new Din Makom. It's because it's a Din of the removal from this Rishos. I'm saying, the question is, well, just to find a little better, is I'd say is that when you pick a thing up in the same Rishos, it's physically, it's Motzi from its Rishos. But conceptually, it's still tied to the Rishos. As the Hotzah, your Motzi and Mimkomo, conceptually, when you've made a real break. And so when you pick it up, it's, yeah, physically it's not there, but conceptually that's still its Makom. Right? Because it's only to go back. But it's when you go into the other Rishas, in the opposite Rishas, there's no, so to speak, there's no turning back. Now it's conceptually broken its Makom. So it's the going across the border is where conceptually it takes on it's uprooted from its makom. Makom isn't just a physical, it's not a physical concept, it's a conceptual concept that a thing has a makom. It's a concept, like especially it's good, we're saying it's a property of the object. It's a property of the object that it's an essential din makom. So it's not just a physical thing. You can have a din makom which isn't active at this moment physically.
You pick it up to clean under it. Yeah,
exactly,
still
exactly,
makom,
exactly. Right? That's still its din makom, but it's just not active at this moment. It's physically, it's not there, but that's its din makom. So the thing is, the yotzi mimakomo is where when you go across the border, now that uproots the din makom. Conceptually, it doesn't have that din makom. Something could be have a din makom even though it's not there currently, because it's omed l'kach. That's still its makom. You know, it's like moving. You know, like when you move. You move, you go to a hotel for a week, you're not moving. Like, moving is a certain kind of thing. You may not be in your house, but that's your home. And your home is your home. Home is your home, even though you're not there. You're never, how often are you there? But there's an idea of rooting your kfias. So it's like, it's different, a certain kind of a thing. So it's just, even though you're not at your home, but still it's your home. I mean, that's the psychological element to that, but still, conceptually, besides the psychological element, there's a conceptual idea there. So, makom kvias. Maybe Johnny's question is, where's the productivity? Because normally productivity is a positive thing. So you're saying, what's productivity? That I get rid of it? I mean, we get it out of this makom? I mean, the normal way is productivity, giving it a new makom, defining it as a new makom. But here, well, you're not doing that. Maybe he holds that there's an idea, of, like, in a certain sense, a makom is, like, restrictive to a thing. It's like it relegates, the object is restricted, it's relegated to a makom. And so to speak, when you're oker at this makom, it becomes free. It's like there's a certain property of an object of not being restricted. Like you see in Tchum Shabbos, it's like, that's the pasuk it's learned from. Al Yetzishim Komo means certain state of mind where a person has been koma. But you're not going anywhere. But then the state of a traveler. Traveler is a certain mindset. You're not allowed to be a traveler on Shabbos. That's tum, you know? Certain state of being uprooted from your makom. Well, you don't have a makom. It's like, you have to be kavua. So there's an idea of an object which has, or a person which has a makom, and then there's an object where it's removed from makom. And that's a positive state. Of like for, it's a freedom. It's a certain type of quality in an object, of a makomless object. Only it could go anywhere. It could go anywhere. It's not tied down by any makom. So when you're uprooting it from it, see if it's still in the same rishos, it's good with this idea. Because if it's still in the same rishos, it's still tied down, because it still knows where it's going right back there, you know? But once you go out of the rishos, you've broken its ties to the makom. Now it's like a makomless object. That's a product. That's a kind of a product. It's out, it's free. It's free to go anywhere. You know what I mean? I'm talking about like kind of projecting, like animating it, you know, personifying it a little bit. But it's I think it's true. It's interesting. It's a whole different idea of the productivity. It's an interesting idea. Because I think my question is, so why is it called Kluta Kamishon? According to this way of learning Rabbi Kiva, because there's a new way of learning Rabbi Kiva, is what's trying to include the Kamishon? So it's Onir Hanacha. But there's a difference between Hanacha and the object being Huncha. Okay, like in Akira, there is a reality of Huncha vis-a-vis Akira, because you can only do Akira from the object being Huncha. So there's an idea of the object having a makom. Okay, and you could only do Akira if the object has a makom, it's Huncha, because that's the idea of you're uprooting the kviyas of the object. So what it's saying is, but on the other side, on the end side, Kluta is as if it's Huncha. You don't need it, and what does it mean? You don't need a Huncha. Whereas it's the Kluta, what's Huncha from the Akira, for the Akira to be performed, you need it to be Huncha, because then you're uprooting the Kviyas. But for the other side, for the end of the Malacha, Kluta in the second part of the Malacha is like the Huncha of the first part of the Malacha. That's because that's all that you need. In the first part of the Malacha, you don't need a Maisa Hanacha. But you need the object to be Huncha, because the Isser is to break, uproot the kviyas of the object. And if the object wasn't Kavua, then it's the lacks in the Hotzah. The Hotzah is that it was Kavua, physically, that it was in its Makom, and it was Huncha, and now you uproot the kviyas, and then move it across. That's the Nechayev, once you break the kviyas. So the thing is, you need Huncha for the Akira to take place. But all you need is Kluta for the transfer, for the second part of the Malacha. So it means the Kluta on the second half of the Malacha is the equivalent of the Huncha, the state of Huncha, which is necessary in the first part of the Malacha. Mm-hmm. It means that's what I'm saying, is there's an equation between, there are two parts of the Malacha, the beginning of the Malacha, the breaking the kviyas and the giving it, so to speak, the new part of the second part of the Malacha, going into the new Rishos. But what works in the, here, Kluta is all you need, and that's equivalent to the Haruncha over there. But they're different. But it's just trying to show you that that's all you need. Over there you need absolute Kluta, absolute Haruncha, and here all you need is Kluta. It's Kami. It means it says F. It doesn't show you this. You don't need, the point is you don't need Haruncha here. Because you could have imagined that it understands the other idea is that you need Huncha in both places. Because you have to really give it a new din makom and say, no, Kluta Kamisha Huncha, that's all you need. Is that you don't need to give it a new din makom, because all you have to do is uproot it. Uproot it from the Rishos. That's all you have to do. I want to think about this. Let me take that back. Let's think about it. So hopefully for next time we'll try to make that sharper, but it's that lashon, Kluta Kamisha Huncha. But I want to do next, is this next tosis here. El Amar Rav Yosef. Kasha L'Rashba. Okay, this is very interesting. Oh, El Amar Rav Yosef. El Amar Rav Yosef, Amani Rabbi. Oh, yeah, before you do the Gemara, you can just do this. He's basically just going to say, what's the whole problem? He'll say, yeah, look at it. But you'll look at the Gemara there also. It's very interesting. But that tosis. Yeah, the Mishkan, and the other thing I think is parallel to the other part, is that if you say that it's, that if in terms of the essential din malacha is just being mafkayet, that's one thing, that's the malacha. Al-Yotzi, the Pasuk implies that really is the quality of the malacha. And not only that, and you had that in the Mishkan. Whereas in the Mishkan they had that. That is a kind of saying, first I was saying there's a kind of a productivity. there is a kind of a productivity of making it free. And they did that productivity in the Mishkan. That's his first point. You know, they did that in the Mishkan. That's a productivity of making it free, freeing the object from its kvias, breaking its kvias from its kvias. And he says, and not only is it from Mishkan, if you're according to other pshat, it's even better, because that is exactly, that pasuk, on the contrary, is more mashma that that's the idea. Like, I mean, you could say al yotish mekol means give it a new makom, but it's more in line with that pasuk, you know? Yotish Mekomo, it sounds actually like that. So that's what he says, according to that answer, it's even better. But the question is, where does this din makom come from? If it comes from Mishkan, so he's saying Mishkan, they have this in the Mishkan. If it comes from the pasuk, then the pasuk is even better. As he says, it's shapir. I say, nami shapir. The kiramari. Not only saying it's better, but he's saying, see, nami shapir. Words, either way, in other words, every way you're going to say why you need the din makom, wherever this thing comes from, is either of those pshatim, because remember there are two different places where it came from. But either way, is it one was just that's the quality of the thing, or because he needed the productivity? That was the way they did it, the level of productivity. But either way, it works out the same way. I mean, I guess the other svara, I mean, the way we hold is no, they really need to change the makom. Well, that's the productivity. I mean, maybe that's the question: is that a productivity? Is giving it the state of free? Like, maybe that's the question. And we don't hold by that. We hold if they really give it to Malcolm, that's productivity. Just to give it freedom is not a productivity in the thing. I mean, that could be where the machlokas lies, you know? Is that a valid product? Because even though, like, there's an idea like that concept, but it's, you know, you could see saying you don't like that, you know?